This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله حمد الشاكرين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is our third session, mashallah, in this special Dhul Hijjah Islamic Q&A focus on Hajj, getting ourselves motivated to take and make the best out of these blessed 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah, the last of the calendar months. We ended our discussion, alhamdulillah, with the prayers of Salatul Dhuhr live from Mecca al-Mukarramah. How beautiful it is to see the Kaaba, to see the pilgrims who have begun to assemble, to attain the great fadl and the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill their ibadah in that sacred land. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I of those who are able to stand in the plains of Arafah and to stand on the Mount of Mercy in the coming Hajj next year. Allahumma ameen. Oh Allah, we have been deprived this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His mercy, shower us with His rahmah, and join us again with the believers. Allahumma ameen. In these blessed places and in these blessed lands. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Wali Al-Mustada'afeen, Allahumma urzuqna hajjan qabla al-mamat, Ya Akram Al-Akrameen, bless us with another hajj and a hajj for those who have not been before our return to you, Ya Allah. We've been speaking about how to earn the reward of hajj without departing. And we said the first capital thought is to ensure sincerity between us and Allah, to make an intent to making Hajj, even though we may not have the means or we have been restricted with the COVID restrictions or for whatever reason. Subhanallah, that the heart is sincere, that the heart is pure, can earn us a reward with our Creator and with our Maker, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, now I want you to pay attention to me. These are actions that can be performed to earn us the reward of Hajj, even though we have not left our home. And this is something, inshallah, for those of you who are listening along, if you have a question, please do call in. We will treat this also as an Islamic Q&A, as I will not be able to be with you in the Wednesday sessions that we normally have, inshallah. We have these special Hajj programs for you, inshallah. So the first hadith we will study, these are the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember, we said when there's an excess of blessing, the only one that can inform us about it is Allah in the Quran or through the words of the Prophet ﷺ that are inspired to him into his heart and onto his tongue by Allah. We're going to study the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu arda. Anas ibn Malik is not any regular sahabi, right? He is one of those who the Prophet made dua for. The Prophet made dua for him to have a long life and many children and to teach the faith of Al-Islam to generations after. He's one of the longest living Sahaba after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. One of the reasons for this is that he was the Khadim, the servant of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. His mother, radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, O Messenger of Allah, I want good for my son and there is no greater good than to be in your company. Take him, O Messenger of Allah, as one who will run your errands, who will do what you need, who will carry your shoes when you enter the masjid, when you're making wudu, he will spill water for you. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make use of him. So the Prophet accepted Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu wa Allah and gave him that noble purpose as the khadim, the servant of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's an elevation, it's an honor, it's a dignity that cannot be surpassed in any other way. How worthy it is of this young man who was 8 or 9, 10 years old to be the carrier of the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed shoes, to be the one who would take errands from one place to another on his command. So Anas ibn Malik was favored by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because he was so close to the Prophet, he had access to him at times where others didn't. He could see of the Prophet when others didn't see. Now this hadith becomes a powerful hadith. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pay attention to this, that the one who prays, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us consistent in our fajr, the one who prays Salatul Fajr, in particular in jama'ah, then sits in the remembrance of Allah until the sun rises. That this person, they sit until the shuruq, the sun breaks the fajr. Remember, we want to connect this with our first discussion. Wal fajr wa layal al ashr. So you began your prayer and now you're waiting, the day began to dawn. Prophet ﷺ said, the one who prays Fajr and does so in congregation and sits remembering Allah, doesn't go out, doesn't leave, doesn't shift place, remains in their place of salah until the sun rises, which is usually between 30 to 40 minutes, right? On normal occasions, if you are near the equator, and this is the timing of the people of Medina. So if you're in the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and you pray Fajr at, say, 5:20, Shuruq would be close to 6 a.m., right? So it's about 30 to 40 minutes in time. The one who sits remembering Allah from the time they prayed Salatul Fajr in congregation with the Imam until the sun rises, then they pray 2 rak'ah, will have the reward of a Hajj and Umrah. Allahu Akbar. Will have the reward of a Hajj and Umrah. There is your reward of Hajj without you leaving home. There is your reward of Umrah as if you're making Hajj Tamattu' where you do Umrah and then Hajj without you departing from your home. There is your reward without having travel, without the expense of the monetary expense, without the physical expense, without the burden of the ihram, without the difficulties of the journey and the departure of your family, friends, and workplace. All of that is secured through what? The words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That some of the ulama, they itemize this in particular for our sisters, for the women. And they say that in her prayer at home can achieve the same reward if she is not attending to the jama'ah for Fajr, because it is not obligatory in that sense upon the Muslim woman. And it's preferable at times for her to get that same reward in that sense. Some of the ulama have itemized this. And therefore it becomes very tempting for you and I. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reward of Hajj and the reward of Umrah with worship in our own city, in our own community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our heart to worshiping Allah smarter through knowledge, not just harder. And that becomes an important segue for you and I. And I want to focus on this. It is important for you and I to learn our deen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا. The hadith of Muawiyah in Sahih al-Bukhari. The one whom Allah wishes for them bounties of good. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah gives them an understanding of the deen. Notice the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't say, يُعَلِّمْهُ, that the person will be taught the religion. No, fiqh, will have an understanding, a wisdom in the practice of faith. Because a person, there's a difference between knowledge and fiqh, knowledge and fahm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes two of the great prophets and messengers in the Quran, a father and son, Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Dawood, كُلَّنْ آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Both of them I gave wisdom, the judgment to be able to judge between others in wisdom and knowledge. But Allah then speaks about Sulaiman as having something that exceeded his father. Although he's the son, he exceeded his father in fahm. When a puzzling question was put forward and Dawood answered it, Sulaiman took pause. Sulaiman took pause and said, my father, I think this is the correct answer. And Allah speaks about this incident in the Quran, as is found in the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, وَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. Allah says in the Quran, I gave Sulaiman its understanding, fahm, the fiqh of this issue. The issue was a simple issue. There was a farmer and a cattle raiser, somebody who owned a shepherd, he owned livestock, and a farmer was his neighbor. In the middle of the night, the livestock broke through the fence of the farm and ate the crops for the year. The farmer and the shepherd came to Dawood alayhi salam, and they said, oh, messenger of Allah, Dawood, you are the king, you are the judge. Uhkum baynana, give judgment. This shepherd, he acknowledges that his sheep, his livestock entered into my farm. They're the ones that destroyed my crop and took all of my profits. Dawood alayhi salam, hearing the argument, he immediately said, whatever sheep that you have that equal the value of the farm are now the farmer's property. Give the sheep to the farmer to pay him back for the losses of the farm that has been lost. Sulaiman objected, alayhi salam. Sulaiman objected and said, my father, this is not correct. My father, the shepherd, will lose all of his flock, and the farmer will gain, yes, the flock, but his plants and his vegetation will grow back next year. My father, it is better if you give him the flock, that whatever is produced from it, whatever new sheep, new goats, new cows, that he can keep them, but the flock should return to the farmer in the coming year to regain back his own livelihood, and the offspring should be kept with the farmer. And this was the fahm, the fiqh, the understanding that goes beyond just the text, Allahu Akbar. And that becomes a noble thing that the Prophet would teach us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would teach his wife. The wife of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as she's sitting in her home, and she has finished her Fajr prayer. She's praying at home, as we mentioned. She finished her Fajr prayer. The Prophet had gone out to pray, returned. She was sitting there, and she began sitting in her same place, making dhikr to Allah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. أستغفر الله العظيم وأتوب إليه لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Making dhikr. The Prophet left again and returned in the mid-morning. So now it's not just when Shuruq, now she's sitting there for a long 2 hours, 3 hours of time in the same place. The Prophet ﷺ said, have you been sitting here since the time I left? She said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. All this many hours, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, I said three statements. I said four statements three times that equal in reward everything you just did in all of this time you spent. In the shortness of saying, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimatih. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. Those four sentences, three times as I just recited, earned the same reward as she had sat the whole morning into the forenoon making dhikr to Allah. Because ibadah is also about knowledge. The great imam, they would say, مَا عُبِدَ اللَّهِ بِمِثْلِ الْفِقْهِ. Allah was never worshipped in a more competent way than through an understanding of the tradition, the sunnah, the spirit of faith, the understanding of the objectives of our ibadah to maximize our reward and our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. This hadith is one of those examples. You can earn the reward of Hajj by simply making your wudu at home, attending to the Fajr prayer, praying it in congregation, remaining seated in your place for the 20, 30, 40 minutes until the sun rises, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, to elevate you, to protect you, to honor you, to secure you, to bless you, making dua to Allah, making ta'zeem of Allah, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika, and so on and so on. Making the tamjeed of Allah, the extolling your glorifications upon Allah, that it returns to you a reward of the journey of Hajj and Umrah together. Allahu Akbar. What an incredible opportunity. A second opportunity. Now let's escalate it. A second opportunity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and this is narrated by Imam Abu Dawood. Whoever performs wudu in their home and goes out to perform the obligatory prayer in the masjid has the reward similar to the one who has performed Hajj. And whoever goes out to perform the mid-morning prayer, the duha prayer, it's not even an obligatory prayer, has the reward similar to performing Umrah. This is narrated by Imam Abu Dawood. There's another narration similar to it in Sahih Muslim. And Sahih Muslim is an authentic hadith as we know. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says that a group of the Sahaba came in complaint to the Prophet ﷺ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, the wealthy people amongst your Sahaba, they have taken all bil-ujur, they've taken all the rewards. They have the reward of being able to do this and do that. They're able to give high rank in their Jannah because they have the opportunity to pray like us and fast like us, but they can then give charity. They can get spend upon the needy. We aren't able to do this. What can we do to reach that level, to attain that level, even though we have not been blessed in a financial sense as they have? Prophet ﷺ said, they may have more money than you to give charity. However, has not Allah blessed you with the Isha prayer in congregation that is equal to Hajj? Allahu Akbar. Has Allah not blessed you with the opportunity of leaving and praying Salatul Isha at home and receiving the reward of Hajj? So not just Fajr, but now Isha. And then the Prophet continued, and Hajj and a Fajr prayer that will equal the reward of Umrah. So the Prophet combines Hajj and Umrah in one hadith for Fajr, and he combines the reward of Hajj without Umrah in the hadith of Salatul Isha in congregation without the tasbih. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to the how easy it is to earn that reward. We have a caller on the line, and if you have questions you want to ask, please put them forward, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Fatima.
Yes, sister. Assalamu alaikum. How can I help?
Okay. I
want
to know of the money that I have I'm new in Islam, you know. I used to be a Muslim. I was born into Islam, but I just converted back to Islam. So I don't really know how to go about this. I don't know the names of you know what I'm talking about. The 10 days what you said you will perform is supposed to be an holy praying to Allah.
Yes.
So I don't really know how to go about. I don't really know how to go about them. Just for me to be home, because I've been home.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I ain't clean yet. So I just want to be holy, and I really need you to shed more light than that for me.
All right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala light your path, bless your journey, connect you to your community, accept you in the highest levels. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support you and your family as you move forward. And welcome back, my dear sister. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make easy your journey. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates it for all of us. Allahumma ameen. So what I will say to you, my dear sister, it's the simple things that are important. So I want you to focus on the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha, on connecting yourself with the opening chapter of the Quran. And there is no greater summary to everything that we have in Islam than that particular chapter. It tells you about who is Allah, what Allah wants of us, and we make a commitment to Him. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you, Allah, do we worship. Only you will we ask help from. Those are the two things that I want you to celebrate Allah with in these 10 days and after them. That only you, Allah, will I ask for my needs, and only you, Allah, do I worship. What that does is that it centers you as a Muslim in every aspect of your life. So the concept of Islam is to surrender yourself, to submit yourself to the will of God, to find yourself in your relationship with Allah. So the first step is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Only you, Allah, do I worship. I'm not going to give any love, any fear, any hope in anything in an equal way to you. No one can I love in such an absolute sense who calls me to doing something that you said no, except that I will listen to what you said and I will ignore them. I will step away from them to come closer to you. No one will seek to attract me to that which is haram, and you've told me is sinful, O Allah, except that I will prefer you to them. And no one will I have hope in that they can help me or assist me or cure me or support me or provide for me in absolute way more than what I make my request of you of Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Only you do I worship. And that's the second part. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you do I seek my needs from. When your heart becomes empty from attaching yourself to other than Allah, loving things in a way that only Allah should be loved, fearing people or things in a way that only Allah should be feared, hating things in only a way that is meant for us to be ordered by Allah, then it frees us from obligations to other than Him. So focus on Surah Al-Fatiha. Read it in your morning, read it in your evening. Seek to perfect your prayers. Seek to come closer to God, to Allah Almighty, when you stand and you say, Allahu Akbar, O my Lord, you are the greatest in my life. No pain do I have except you are greater than it to be able to heal me. No worry do I have that you are not greater to assist me in fixing it. No fear do I have that you cannot help me to conquer. And no success do I have except you are the provider for it for me. Allahu Akbar. Fulfill your prayers. Seek to pray your five prayers. Focus on the essence of Surah Al-Fatiha and take your small steps of learning. Take your learning steps towards Allah. May Allah bless your journey. May Allah light your path. May Allah raise your rank. And may Allah give you success to remain firm and steadfast. And it's a struggle for you and I and all that are listening. There is none of us that find ease in everything that we do in our relationship with Allah. The essence of life is that we must combat our own desires and the evil whisperings and inclinations of the shaitan, the devil, to seek a path of purity. And as you said, I want to be more holy in these days. That is the essence and the heart of a believer. May Allah continue to increase faith in your heart, to magnify it through your learning, the steps that will lead you to greater conviction, greater love, greater appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I can also recommend for you, my dear sister, to try to connect yourself to one of your local mosques, to one of your local communities, where you can make friends with some of the other Muslim sisters, especially those who are practicing, you know, those who are connecting themselves to the mosque, who try to attend and try to have online lessons and so on. Connect yourself to a community, because it is easier for you to be supported with others who strengthen you than to be on your own. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you're on your own or sheltered within a community, protect you, provide for you, assist you, elevate you, and honor you. Allahumma ameen. Finally, if I can say, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you the honor and the opportunity, may Allah grant you a hajj before you return to Him. And may you be able to witness the grandeur and the beauty and the significance of visiting the Holy Land and fulfilling the obligations of Hajj. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make easy your journey. Stay connected to Islam Channel, and I hope you will continue after this short break with me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair. I'll put another streaming link in a few minutes, inshallah.